This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
A year ago, it felt like to me, Ram, that we were a little more clear on how soon between, even though everything was so new, you could get vaccinated between shots. We also heard more of if you had COVID, you can't take a shot for whatever. Whether that is right or wrong at the time, we had no idea. And the science was there in saying what we thought. Currently, we don't hear, and even then, didn't hear a lot about that. Currently, we don't really hear now how much time it's to be. And I get that no one for sure knows. If you had it, they need that real world experience. So it kind of, you know, it seems so funny when you look at the what happened with Djokovic and what happened in Australia, because people are just trying to manage the best they can and deal with what they know, what we know real time at this minute. So I'm
pretty
anxious
much
to see what will be said, what we'll look back and furthermore and to the story. And that's for sure. But it's the story of the world.
It is the story of the world. And as Brock pointed out, if you don't even know, like if you're living in a circumstance where you don't even know if you've had COVID because you weren't able to get tested, it wasn't an accessible situation for you, then that's also a question mark, right? You don't know whether
you
can get vaccinated.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like if somebody in a few months says, well, hold on a sec, we can't give you a shot until we know for sure that you had it a while ago. You might have. It might be too soon. You have to wait.
The next part is for us to test our antibodies. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to come up. Yeah, but we'll see. And as you're saying, in the bigger picture, we're all dealing with a lot right now. And that's why this conversation up ahead is going to be interesting and very useful. Jillian Gillis, our TV reporter in Halifax, is joining us right now. And we're going to pause on telling you about AMI this week or other things like that. And we're going to talk a little bit about taking care of our mental wellness. So, Jillian, I appreciate you bringing this conversation to the table.
Absolutely. How's it going?
Not bad. Looking forward to talking to you because I think you have some very tactile suggestions to come up. And January, we know that it's a tough time. Like Kelly and I and Brock, we were talking about COVID and sports and all these other things. But January, with or without COVID-19, is a real tough time for people. Mental health, why do you think this is?
You know, I think it has a lot to do with the after the holiday crash. It's the middle of winter. It's super cold and dark. Seems like it's going to be a long time before we have anything to look forward to. Maybe people are feeling guilty for breaking their New Year's resolutions or might have gained some weight from the holidays. Blue Monday is typically the third Monday in January, and it's said to be the most depressing day of the year. There's no real science behind that, but it's a popular belief, and it makes sense. There's this added layer of COVID and the new Omicron variant too, so there's that.
Certainly have a real full whole helping of it, and especially at this time of the year, January, we hear all sorts of different things of how different communities are really affected. Starting, for example, with the seniors, and at a time even outside of a pandemic, Blue Monday, with it being about a week ago. How are you feeling?
Yeah, so I mean, to be honest, I've been struggling a little bit. My anxiety's been heightened with the high case numbers, and you know, I've got high risk family members. Seeing the effects that it has on the healthcare system is also really scary to me.
Yes.
I've had a lot of stuff going on in my personal life, so that's also factoring into my anxiety and depression. I find myself getting overwhelmed easily, lots of brain fog, ruminating thoughts, and always kind of feeling exhausted. So like when your brain is in overdrive, it's always overthinking and it drains your energy.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And, you know, like you said, maybe a lot of the things that you're dealing with, we can relate to, right? At this time of year, feeling tired, the stress of the up and down of things being open, things being closed, not sure even if you have an emergency, exactly, being able to make it to the hospital because of the healthcare system. There's a lot. There's a lot on social, on news, in our own lives. So do you mind sharing some of the things that you do to help alleviate some of the symptoms that maybe we can take note of.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, sorry about that. Had some technical difficulties with my phone here. So first things first, I've make sure that I have self-compassion in the way that I'm feeling, and the feelings that I have are valid. I'm doing my best to survive, just knowing that and telling myself that. I've actually forgot that Blue Monday was last Monday until just the other day when I was getting ready to talk to you guys. And once I realized that, a lot of things started to make more sense. And I was reminded that I'm not alone in the way that I'm feeling. Yeah.
That's the place to start, right, Jill?
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Yeah. So many people suffer from seasonal depression. And next, I'd say talk to a friend or a therapist. As open as I am about talking about mental health, it can be really hard to express my feelings and emotions to people. So it's good to try to identify how you're feeling and acknowledge the way you're feeling in a first step of healing. I recently made an appointment to see my therapist. Haven't been in a while, so I feel like that'll be beneficial for my mental health, even though it is expensive and it'll be a little bit of a hit to the wallet, but it'll be worth it. Important. An investment in myself.
Yeah, it's so important. And I think a lot of time for people, we start with that justification, not just on spending money, but, well, how come I'm feeling this way? Why? Am I really? And I think that's the big thing with accepting, hey, you feel that way. You don't need to come up with that's why, and either solve it yourself or know that, okay, I need to go talk to someone about this, because there's sometimes so much working and we can't put our finger on it, and we don't have to. It's the way you feel. What are some other actionable things that people can do to improve their mental health? What do you think?
Some simple, meaningful activities like getting the proper sleep, maintaining a healthy diet, journaling, getting outside, being physically active, set up a budget, and manage your spending habits. These are all practical, achievable goals that you can make you feel balanced. Whatever you do, just be kind to yourself is the most important thing I can think of. Too often we tell ourselves these stories that we aren't worthy, and our brains just lie to us. So,
yeah. Yeah, you talked about the ruminating thoughts, you know, self-doubt, or like those kind of limiting factors that make you feel, along with, you know, just honestly, darker days, feeling like you're inside. Maybe you used to go out much more, and now with the winter, you're not going out as much. It makes you feel really, really sad. And the other thing is, you mentioned right at the top, like guilt about not being able to fulfill New Year's resolutions or other goals. And it's very early in the year right now, so that kind of stuff will make us feel extremely unmotivated if we're already not following through on things that we've, you know, built up for ourselves to accomplish. And that's why, like you're saying, basically throughout the segment, it's really, really important to tell yourself it's okay, to treat yourself with some compassion the way you would a friend, and talk to other people who could help you get to that level of self-compassion too. Your friends, your core networks, your inner circles, and your therapists.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Great. Well, I mentioned news and social. This can play a big part in our day-to-day. So Jill, what do you think about, you know, keeping your eye on social all the time, and especially us in media, we're trying to keep up with everything, but it may not be always the greatest thing.
Yes, totally. One thing that I've done over the past couple of years is try to filter my social media so that I'm only getting positive messaging and diversity. And it can be super unhealthy if we're following toxic mediums or extremely unrealistic beauty standards. News can be extremely triggering for people's anxiety. I know for myself it is. It's really important to find a balance between staying informed but also not getting too wrapped up in the news. Another fun tip that I'd like to add is I save all my positive feedback I've ever received in a central folder on my desktop, and I called it, "You're doing a great job." So I got some wonderful comments from our senior producer, Michelle, last year. And that was my first addition to this new trick I've decided to use.
That's really wonderful because, as you say, there's so much noise, so much talk, and a lot of times some of the things said, whether it's on media to you by people in your world, are meant as just playful jokes or a constructive criticism, or you're catching someone on their bad day and that gets passed on to you, whether it's a vibe in the room or just a remark because they answered a question, you know, or were talking to you in a way that made you feel like, well, what are you upset at me for? And we are so pick up and those really impact us, don't they?
Yeah, you're so right about that. Like, it, just one little small comment is all it takes, right?
It can linger with you so long and be such a negative influence, which is sad. And sometimes people don't even mean it. We have no idea, and we've all done it, made a comment or snapped at somebody or something like that, and not really sure of what happens. And I understand how much that is going to happen in life, but it's interesting when you think, I don't want to see some of that. Or I love your idea of keeping that file. When you feel, open up and just read. And some would say, oh, well, isn't that nice to do, you know, for yourself? That's great and all. But you know what? That's a darn good medicine.
Yes,
it really is sure to make you smile every time you read something that's so nice and directed towards yourself.
And be able to add to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good reflection. Mm-hmm. Jill, thank you so much. Thanks for coming on, picking this topic of conversation for us. And it's always nice to catch up with you. We'll chat soon.
Thanks so much for having me. It's always nice to chat with you guys.
Take care. We were speaking with Jillian Gillis, our TV reporter in Halifax, Nova Scotia, talking a little bit about mental health and some very great tips and suggestions on how to keep tabs of your own mental health. Hi, I'm Ramya Amuthan. Join me weekly for AMI Audiobook Review, the podcast that explores new titles, introduces us to famous narrators, and updates what's hot at the Center for Equitable Library Access. Download episodes of AMI Audiobook Review from your favorite podcast provider.